I figured that since you wouldn't come closer, I'll come close to you. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at some of the qualities of discipleship and what the Christian life demands of us. And I would like to call this the Christian Formation Series. And you might recall many weeks ago, Sister Connie got us started because she talked about unconditional love. I don't know if you recall that. She talked about unconditional love within the context of the story of the Good Samaritan. And it was immediately following the vote at General Synod around the issue of the canonical change, the change to the marriage canon. And Sister Connie talked extensively about unconditional love and how we as Christians ought to love unconditionally. And then we moved on to the story of Mary and Martha, where we talked about the discipline of listening, listening to God's word and listening to words of encouragement. And then Sister Connie took it one step further and we talked about prayer, the importance of prayer, essential for Christians. And you might also recall that as part of our Christian discipline, a few weeks ago we talked about stewardship, what it means to be good stewards of the gifts with which we've been blessed, the things that we value. And those of us who were here last week heard Subdeacon Doug Hayes give us perspective on Christian action. What does it mean to take action as a Christian? Today, the readings encourage us to talk about faith. Faith, what does it mean to have faith? The scripture, Hebrews 11, verse 1, and this is the passage, the book from which the epistle reading was taken today, describes or gives a definition of faith. And you've seen it there projected on the screen, and this is familiar to many of us here today. And it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I must tell you that I come here today with a little bias because I really do like the King James Version. And this is what the King James Version says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is really what faith is all about. And from the second reading for today, you'd realize that the writer of Hebrews talked a lot about people of faith who've gone before us, cited examples of faithful women and men like Rahab, like Gideon, like Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, and all the prophets of the Hebrew scriptures who were examples of faithful service to God. And despite their individual characteristics and their individual circumstances, what they had in common was their faith in God. Thinking about it now, we must bear in mind that the letter to the Hebrews was addressed primarily to Jews who had become Christians in the first century, because we acknowledge that the first Christians were actually Jews who had converted. They were familiar with the Hebrew scripture. And at this time in the life of the church, many were tempted to fall back into Judaism. So the message about faith was also meant to be a source of encouragement to the early Christians. Now, I would imagine that their reasons for returning to Judaism might include things like, well, perhaps the security and familiarity of the customs of the Jewish faith. The customs and practices were well known, widely accepted, and routinely practiced in society. So people were ambivalent in the early church. Secondly, they were uncertain about this new religion. because here was this itinerant preacher who claimed to be the Son of God. And this new movement, as it was called back then, took some time to gain credibility and acceptance. But the scripture and other historical works tell us that there was also persecution in the church at that time. And one of the primary reasons for persecution at that time is that the teachings of Jesus offended the existing political and religious authorities and exposed the early Christians to persecution. So there are three possible reasons why people were turning back to Judaism. One, because of familiarity, and that's a natural thing. Secondly, because of the uncertainty about this new faith. And thirdly, because of persecution. But can you imagine the concerns and questions that faithful people of all times must have had when they were called to do something unusual? Well, the writer of the book of Hebrews reminded us that life was not perfect for those who embraced Christianity. And as was read this morning by Doug, some were tortured, some refused to accept release from jail, some suffered mocking and flogging, some were stoned to death. Some of the early Christians were actually stoned to death. Some were killed by the sword, and many went into the desert because, as a place of refuge. Now, Christians today, we still have our questions and doubts, don't we? And we try to be faithful as we resist the temptation of falling back into our old habits. The early Christians to whom the letter to the Hebrews is addressed are really a source of encouragement, encouraging us to put our trust and confidence in God as we try to live each day. People who leave familiar environments often experience a sense of loss, a sense of anxiety, and a sense of uncertainty, isn't it? And I would imagine that many of us have stepped out in faith in one way or another. However, to match that sense of loss, sense of anxiety, and perhaps uncertainty, there's also the excitement and the hope and the prospects of a new and better life. Many of us have had similar experiences when we first left the family home, for instance, or perhaps migrated. We wanted to launch out on our own. And like the faithful women and men in Scripture who placed their trust in God and relied on the promise of a secure future, we too have rich stories of faith which we must share to encourage each other in our daily walk with Christ. Because Christ is our model. Christ is our model of endurance. And the scripture for today reminds us that we must look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Christ as the model of endurance. Because in order to endure, we must look to Jesus as our example. So today, the invitation is open to us. The invitation is open to us to be faithful. Look at what the scripture is saying to us. Because Jesus is very, very clear that those who are faithful would find that there are times when there's disagreement within the body of Christ. One example is the current discussion about the biblical teachings on marriage. And you might recall that immediately following the vote at the National Church on the proposed change to the marriage canon, There was quite a lot of conversation about what that means. But Jesus is very, very clear in the gospel reading for today. And what he said basically is that he did not come necessarily, pardon me, that what he was teaching would most probably cause divisions among people. Because when people decide to walk in faith, there would be opposition. Faithful followers of Christ may experience conflict with others because of their beliefs. Jesus admits that his words would divide people, but we are encouraged to persevere through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, my sisters and brothers in Christ, what does it mean to be faithful? Another definition of faith goes something like this. Faith is confident trust in God's promises, because God's greatest promise is that we can be saved through Jesus. And when we place our trust in Jesus to save us, he will transform us to do his work. And so we're encouraged each and every day to do what it takes to nurture our faith. The letter to the Hebrews invites us to look to Jesus, the model of faithfulness. And Luke reminds us that followers of Christ often face opposition, even from those they love. And I'm sure that you might have experienced it yourself when a friend of mine once told me that there are two topics that he does not discuss. One is politics, the other is religion. Because quite often, people come with a specific perspective and they're not necessarily going to change their mind. And that is really what Jesus was alluding to in the gospel reading. Today we bring our challenges and uncertainties, but we need not worry or get upset, because we can be confident that with the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit, we can place our trust in God, the source of our salvation, the source of our strength, and the source of our stability. So in closing, let's just put things in perspective. First of all, we talked about faith. What is it, this faith? We looked at people whose lives exemplify faithful service, including examples from Scripture. And we examined our individual call to faithfulness as disciples of Christ. Faith, then, is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. What we hope for will actually happen. I want to point you to some research that's been done over the years. And it's not my research, independent research, that shows that people who go into situations with faith tend to have a more positive outcome. And there have been a lot of medical studies of all types, athletes, you just name it. Faith is critical. Faith is key. Faith is key. And you would recall from Scripture that many of the miracles that were reported, Jesus said things like, "Your faith has made you well." Faith is critical. So faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And I once heard this, and I'm going to quote it to you. I don't know the source of it. Don't remember the source. But the quote goes something like this. Our faith takes us beyond where our minds, our intellect, and our knowledge cannot go. It goes beyond the bounds of intellect and of knowledge. So let us nurture our faith every day through prayer, through scripture reading, and Christian fellowship. Some years ago, I came across this poster, which I have in my office to remind me every day. And if you've ever come to the office that I occupy, you would see that on just in front of me, and I look up at it every day. And for those of you who are not able to read what's on the screen, what that says, faith in God changes everything. Faith in God changes everything. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Faith in God changes everything. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask you to strengthen our faith and our belief so that we may seek your guidance, and may we have faith that leads to obedience no matter how difficult the task. My sisters and brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.